I was thinking of that hymn just now, being risen with Christ, what we, you know, we sung. And my mind turned to Colossians 3 at the time, and I think that the Lord wants me to read it. I don't know what for, but as long as it glorifies his name, that's what matters. Colossians chapter 3. If ye then be risen with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ sitteth, on the right hand of God. Set your affections on things above, not on things of earth. For ye are dead, and your life is hid with Christ in God. When Christ, who is our life, shall appear, then shall we also appear with him in glory. Mortify therefore your members which are upon the earth, fornication, uncleanness. I don't know that other word, but
Jeremiah.
I'm not a very good reader.
Inordinate
affection, evil concupiscence, and covetousness, which is idolatry. For which things sake the wrath of God come upon the children of disobedience, in the which he also walked some time when he lived in them. But now ye have put off all these: anger, wrath, malice, blasphemy, filthy communications out of your mouth. Lie not one to another, seeing that ye have put off the old man with his deeds, and have put on the new man, which is renewed in knowledge after the image of him that created him. There is neither Greek nor Jew, nor circumcision or uncircumcision, barbarian, Scythian, bond nor free, but Christ is all and in all. Put on therefore as the elect of God, holy and beloved, bowels of mercy, kindness, humbleness of mind, meekness and long-suffering, forbearing one another and forgiving one another. If any man have a quarrel against any, even as Christ forgave you, so also do ye. And above all these things, put on charity, which is the bond of perfectness. And let the peace of God rule in your hearts, to which also ye were called in one body, and be ye thankful. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with grace in your hearts to the Lord. And whatsoever ye do in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God and the Father by him. Amen. The Lord, may the Lord use it for his glory. Amen.
Thank you, Father. Hallelujah. You're dead. You're dead. Do you believe that?
Amen.
You're dead. Glory. Aren't you glad? Because that's the important thing, beloved. To know that you and I are dead with Christ. Absolutely dead. Oh, I can remember a morning when that stuck fast in my mind. When I read that, you're dead. You're dead. You're dead. And praise the Lord, this is a permanent state. You have to be planted in the likeness of his death permanently. Amen. And then also you're planted in the likeness of his resurrection. When you're planted in the likeness of his death, and that's a permanent state too. And then you walk in newness of life. That's a permanent state too. And these are the great things that God wants to do in each one of us. Because, beloved, there is something that's vital for us to understand, and it comes in this same chapter that was read. In verse 5, where we're told, mortify therefore your members which are upon the earth. Fornication, uncleanness, inordinate affection, evil concupiscence, and covetousness, which is idolatry, and so on and so on and so on. And you may have noticed that this is a great principle that runs through Scripture, even as perhaps reading the verse, you wondered a little about it. For it didn't say, mortify those members that are capable of doing these things on the earth. It says that the members are these. He's not describing physical members. He's describing the members of the old man. That's what he's doing. He's speaking of the spiritual man here. And the spiritual man uses the outward man, uses the physical man to do what it wants to do. And everybody that commits fornication, and everybody that walks in the way of inordinate affection, that is, an affection that Jesus Christ did not ordain for your life. It may be an affection for this or that, too much bed, too much music, too much food, too much an affection for this kind of life or that person. Usually you have to beware of this, where there's an affection for a woman, or a man for a man. Or it can be the other way about, an affection that was never ordained of God. You need to watch, according to Oswald Chambers, if my memory serves me right. He advises everybody to watch inordinate affection as you would the devil. To have an affection that God doesn't want you to have for someone, something that you ought not to have any affection for. These things all belong to the old man. All a lot of them. And what a terrible thing it is. You see, beloved, God has a habit in Scripture which is manifest in a principle that he identifies things with the use to which they are put. He identifies manifestations with original truth or original positions. That's the thing for you to see. This is a principle that you will find carried out in the whole of Scripture. You will notice it, for instance, if you turn with me to 1 Corinthians. And in the 12th chapter of 1 Corinthians, we will see this same great truth. Those of us that were here together this morning, we may recall that we came a little into this chapter when we were on the great truth of the body of Jesus Christ. And as you read toward the end of the chapter, which is a chapter that speaks of our baptism into and then our function in the great spiritual body of Christ, we find this in verse 27. You are the body of Christ. You are. You understand that? You are the body of Christ. Hallelujah. You are. Praise God. And members in particular. Praise the name of the Lord. And God hath set some in the church. First apostles. Secondarily prophets. Thirdly teachers. After that, miracles. Then gifts of healings, helps, governments, diversities of tongues. Now notice this. You have a switch in this verse which shows you the same principle. In the first half it is apostles, prophets, teachers. They are persons. But when you come next, it's not a miracle worker. You see there? or not a man who ministers in healing. He's not referring to the person, he's referring to the gift. The function. Now you have this same principle in the Colossians. The same thing that God identifies acts with natures. God identifies things with principles. It's well that each one of us understands it. If he sees a certain thing done, he identifies that either with the old man or the new. He sees a certain course of action, he doesn't say, well, there's a poor Christian gone wrong, he says, that comes from the old man. Well, that's the new man. That's the way he talks. Glory be to the name of the Lord. Somebody was talking a little earlier today about God calling a spade a spade. Praise his name. So he does. But isn't it a wonderful thing, beloved? And we might talk about body truth here a little. As I may repeat from this morning's meeting, there's a great deal of talk about body ministry. Wherever you go, I hear it everywhere. I don't know whether they keep dropping me hints because I seem to do a lot of preaching, or it's one thing like that, but I've got a pretty thick skin. That's right. In order to go round with God, you will have a heart like butter and a skin like a rhinoceros. That's true. You'll never be a pastor or anything if you haven't got that. This is the only way with God. But I want to warn you people that are talking about body ministry. Listen, God sets apostles. And God sets prophets. And God sets teachers. And it isn't the function of the body to take away the office and the ministry of these men that God has set. There's a great deal gone awry. People are being instructed erroneously today. They're nearly taught to believe that once they've been baptized in the Spirit and have some kind of a gift, they're going to go around and do this, laying hands on everybody. Doing this, that, and the other. It's the body, it's the body, it's the body. I want to warn you. I want to warn you. God sets apostles, and he sets prophets, and he sets and gives pastors and teachers. You understand that? Let us be careful in these days. Let us be very careful. But let's return to the principle. Let's return to this great principle, shall we? That God identifies functions and manifestations with principles and natures. That's why, beloved, you remember that after old Peter had said in Matthew 16, thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. And a little lower down said, when Jesus was talking about going to Calvary, said, that be far from thee, he said, get behind me, Satan. That thing that came out of Peter's mouth was identified with the devil by Jesus. Straight away, he didn't say, oh, poor little disciple, or something like that. He got down to the fact. Amen. Would God that men and women saw this today, instead of making excuses for things, saw that there are natures in the earth, and I want to tell you there are only two men in the earth. There are only two men in the earth. That's the new man and the old man. Only two men. Glory be to the name of the Lord. Let's understand this, shall we? Let's go back to John chapter 8. John chapter 8. And we'll see this brought out very clearly for us. In the 8th chapter of John. He said unto them in verse 23, you are from beneath. I am from above. Ye are of this world. I am not of this world. Praise God. This is the thing. He goes a little lower down and he talks truth. And he said, you do the deeds of your father, verse 41. They said to him, we be not born of fornication. We have one father, even God. Jesus said unto them, if God were your father, you would love me. For I proceeded forth and came from God. Neither came I of myself, but he sent me. Why do you not understand my speech, what I'm saying? Because you cannot hear my word. You are of your father, the devil, and the lusts of your father you will do. He was a murderer from the beginning, and abode not in the truth, because there is no truth in him. When he speaketh a lie, he speaketh of his own, for he is a liar and the father of it. Hallelujah. And then a wonderful thing to know this about the devil. Amen. You see, the devil has generated through the lie that he told to Eve in the garden. He has generated a nature in the earth. He has generated a life which is a lie. A lie. And Jesus comes into the world and he says, I'm the truth. That's right. He says, I'm the truth. The devil has generated the lie. And all men are living the lie. Outside of Christ, they're all living the lie, every one of them. Oh, what a tremendous thing it is, beloved. And they're of the father of the devil. Amen. In the end, there's only two fathers. Praise God. That's the devil, or the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. And this is the great ministry of Jesus Christ, beloved, to nail the old man to the cross and finish the lie. The lie is that you shall be as God. You can live independently of what God says. You can do you live your own life. And Jesus said, if you live like that, that's how you'll end up. See? That's the cross. The man on the cross, I mean. This ugly, no beauty that we should desire him, no beauty about him anywhere. Nothing tasteful, nothing aesthetic, ugly, wretched, all his bones out of joint. His tongue clinging to the roof of his mouth for thirst. His bones melted like wax within him. That's him. That's the old man. That's the ugliness. That's the beauty that people are preferring. It's the lie. Glory be to God. Jesus nailed it down at Calvary. Amen. Hallelujah. And there's a new man in the earth. There's a new man from heaven. Glory be to the Lord God Almighty, and God in his clear-sightedness and absolute honesty tells us truth on these great issues, beloved. If certain things are in your life and they're going on as continuous practices in you, then they're of the devil and they belong to the old man. If other things are in your life and they're going on as flowing, glorious loves and graces and ministries and precious things from God, they're of the new man. Hallelujah. this is the way with God. It's all so clear, it's all so simple, it seems so plain to me. I seem to be able to see to the bottom of it all, and the top of it too. It's written all over the Bible to me. There's no great mixture in God. He hates mixtures. He won't have mixtures. He wouldn't have an ox plowing with an ass. He won't have a field sown with mixed seed. He wouldn't have it. Glory. He said that the garments, they weren't to be mixed either, that the priests wore. Hallelujah. Praise his wonderful name. This is all God's glorious way. Everything's fresh. Everything's beautiful. Everything's simple. Everything's single. Everything. There's a man come from heaven. Come to take possession of your life. He's come to take possession of your body. He's come to take possession of your mind. Come to take possession of your tongue, your eyes. Come to take possession of all your passions. Come to take possession of all your desires. Come to take possession of you, the great takeover. Hallelujah. This is the great thing, so you can stand before the devil and say, you can't accuse me of sin. Like he said, which man accuses me of sin? That's right. That's God. And it's the sort of thing you'd expect him to do, isn't it? Praise him. To belong to him. Do you? That's right, sister. Hallelujah. Identified clear. So that everybody can see you clear. Right out there. Bless God for our brother Jim McGee. Amen. Bless God he had the courage to come out. Bless God that Keith had the courage. He can't read as well as I can. What does that matter? He had the courage to get over his difficulties and his handicaps. Praise God. God will make a man of you. And that's the only way he can. And people that keep running away from their deficiencies and handicaps finish up on a scrap heap or always crying on somebody's shoulder. God makes a man of you like Jesus Christ. I said to someone earlier today, the way to deal with fears is go at them. Praise God. That's the way to deal with fears. Go for them. Glory to God. Go for the thing that makes you afraid. Go for it. In the name of Jesus. And you'll find it's a lie. It's a bogey. That's right, it's a lie. It seems so strong, it seems so powerful, but I tell you it's a lie. God, devil never bound anybody except with a lie. He can't bind anybody with truth. He can only bind them with lies. That's all he can deal with. He's the father of lies. He cannot speak the truth. Hallelujah! I'm ever so glad, because when he starts to talk to me, I know he's a liar. Glory! Not that he talks to me much. Blessed be the name, but I don't talk to him either, except to tell him to get out. Much. Hallelujah. This is the truth. I find people sometimes, they're muttering, they're talking to devils. Devils all day long. I don't. Glory be to the name of the Lord. Sprinkle the blood in. Get out. Oh, this nonsense. I want you to believe that they've got discernment. They'll finish up in a mental hospital if they don't stop. I tell you the truth. If Jesus Christ did it, you did it. You do it. If he didn't do it, don't you do it. Jesus Christ is the normal man. Not what you read in books. Jesus Christ is the normal man. Do what he did. Hallelujah. This is a great revelation from heaven. Praise his wonderful name. Oh, to be able to walk in this great, glorious new life with everything crucified and mortified. Death permanently in your life. You're dead. Glory. Your life is hid with Christ in God. What a place of faith. And then you think of those glorious gifts of the Spirit. Let's go, shall we? Have another look in 1 Corinthians. I said this morning I hadn't better start talking about the gifts, but it looks as though God's introduced us to it again tonight. Somewhat then, and of course briefly, because our dear brother Norman, I think, got a word burning in his heart. But, all right. In 1 Corinthians 12 then, isn't it a blessed and glorious thing, beloved, when you know by this precious death and resurrection, when you know by this glorious birth from above, this baptism and integration into Christ, so that we please and satisfy God in filling out that picture he had in mind, filling out that picture of the glorious spiritual man coming up to God's standards. This is the one in glory of it. Nearly everybody thinks they can't. Everybody's preaching defeat. Everybody's lowering the standard. You can't be what you ought to be. There's other hymns that say, you know, that you can't be what you want to be. You will be what you shall be. And all that. They love those kinds of hymns. Or hymns that return, O blessed messenger of peace, or something. Where's the dove that I lost? These are the sort of things that they like to sing. They become their favorite sentimental ditties. That man was written by a man on the verge of lunacy and suicide, that hymn. Did you know that? Did you know that? No, oh, well, know it now. Praise the name of the Lord. You don't want to start living on the verge of lunacy and suicide. Glory. You need to live in the glory of the full revelation of the Lord Jesus Christ. And beloved, you and I have got to live in this place where we fill out. We're here to do it. We're here to fill out this spiritual body of Jesus Christ. Because this body is the fullness of him that filleth all in all. This is what you're destined to. This is what God is going to do. Amen. Now then, beloved, it's a precious and a glorious thing when we realize that a man can be so yielded up to God. A woman too, of course, I'm using this in the fullest sense. When you could be so yielded up to God, so filled with his Spirit, so integrated into his purposes, so fitting into all that God wants, that you can have the gifts of God and yield to them, give yourself over to them, don't go mad about them. Remember the story I told you about Isabel? Who, when I said to her, do you mean to tell me when we speak in tongues on a Sunday morning and worship God, you do? She said, yes, sometimes. And I thought, that's wonderful. Some people think they've got to do it all the time. And she had more sense than the grown-ups. 7 years of age. Hallelujah. This is a tremendous thing. But to have these precious gifts from God, beloved, and so give yourself up to the Lord in perfect love, not trying to force the issue, not thinking you're great because you can speak in tongues or interpret or prophesy, or that the sick get healed, or that devils come out. just because you tell them to come, directly disobeying the Lord Jesus. He says you are not to rejoice because the devils are subject to you. He says you're not. Read it in the Gospels. You must not rejoice because devils are subject to you. Leave alone print what demons say on records. Leave alone published books of marvelous deliverances. You're not to do it. Jesus said you're not. And don't start getting people up to testify about it and teach them to disobey God from the word go. You're not to do it. You just rejoice that your names are written in heaven. Glory. That's the thing to do, he said. Amen. And he said, I'll give you a lot more then. You'll be able to tread on scorpions, he said. You'll be able to do all sorts of things. People can't tread on scorpions because they're disobedient in lesser things. They can't do it. Let me tell you, you know our dear brother Arthur Wallace. Put your hand up. Oh, you need to be educated. Anyway, Arthur Wallace, good friend of so many of us, writes in a very famous magazine sometimes, and he's gone out to India. He wrote home to his wife, and he said he'd gone to sleep, he'd gone to his bed, he's sleeping in India. He went to bed one night, he got up next morning, and he found a dead scorpion in his bed. He laid on it all night. How about that? How about that? Glory. Jesus didn't say he'd lay on it, did he? He never tried to fall on it first and then laid on it. Just went and laid on it. Poor scorpion. But this is the great way of the Spirit of God, beloved. He wants us to be there in that place where we are identified with that new glorious spiritual man. He wants us to be completely yielded up to him so that he can entrust us with his gifts. He wants us to be there. He wants to know he can trust us. Most people cannot be trusted beyond about two sentences in another tongue. That's right. Oh, to live for God. Oh, to be yielded up to him. Oh, that God knows that he can trust you with what he wants to give you. Oh, that if he gives it to you, he knows you won't let it rust. And he knows also, too, that you won't go wrapping it in a napkin and burying it somewhere. Oh, that he should know, too, that you wouldn't start working it like a pump handle if he gave it to you. Oh, dear, oh, dear, oh, dear, oh, dear. Oh, that he knew that he could trust us. Do you know, beloved, I believe from the bottom of my heart that our glorious risen Lord is wanting to shower his gifts upon his church. I believe it. I believe it, that if his church wouldn't get concerned about gifts, but get concerned about him, if his church would be concerned to live pure and holy only, and only use them in perfect love, as the 13th chapter gives us the key and root of it. Amen. And if we would walk in this most excellent way with God, I believe that our God would come again. But he's got to know it. He hasn't got to be lip service. We haven't just got to pay lip service to the idea. I don't want my members identified with fornication and inordinate affection. I don't want my members identified with evil concupiscence. I don't want them identified with that. I want them identified with Jesus. That's what I want. Ah, God's grace shall enable me to come there too. I believe it. you're dead, you're dead. Oh, I was glad when God spoke that into my heart, kept ringing in my ears. You're dead, he said, you're dead. Praise him, and I believed him. I believed him. Do you believe him? He has to kill you first. He has to slay you first. You're no good to him till you've been slain. Nobody is. When you're slain, then, beloved, he can start to do his wonderful works inside you. Amen. Oh, beloved, I'm certain of this. I'm certain of this. You see, when God came down right from the start, on the day of Pentecost, they all spoke with other tongues right from the word go. He wanted to get them used to functioning in the gifts of the Spirit right from the word go. Hallelujah, that's what he wanted. Of course, to make it a rigid doctrine and all this, I mean, it shows the weakness of the church. But this is the intent and import of God. He wants to bring you into this great realm. And with a great purpose, he shows you. Shows you what the purposes are of these things. Lots of people got saved. That's right. With a purpose. That we should move in this tremendous realm of God. Some people want to abuse tongues, for instance. They want tongues so that they can have a release. They've read that it's a very sort of a releasing thing inside, and then they get this bee in their bonnet, you see. And they only want to use tongues as a means to an end. For their own personal thing. It's a very good thing to be released. Hallelujah. Of course it is. But oh, beloved, I tell people this. I say to them, would you really like to speak in another tongue? And most people that I talk to these days say, yes, I would. If they don't say yes for a start, and they manifest some kinds of fears, we get those sorted out. But would you like to speak in another tongue? Yes. Or if they're a bit stuck, I say, do you know what it's for, don't you? So they say, no. And I say, well, I tell you what it's for. It's so that nobody can listen in to you making love to Jesus. It's your private life. I was on a long distance call the other day. Came up from a long way away to me. And the person at the other end had worked on the telephone exchange at one time, and there were some noises going on the phone, and she said, would you mind getting off our line, please? I'm very angry. She didn't need a deliverance, but that's why she got angry. But never mind. You see, she could tell that somebody had hooked in. I couldn't. I just thought it was something going on. But she knew when it had come in. Hallelujah. And the voice said, oh, sorry, you see. Third person on. She knew. I didn't know. I was as green as grass. Hallelujah. But look, when God gives you a tongue, beloved, it's just so that you can tell Jesus how much you love him. Glory. You can glory in him. You can tell him all that's in your heart. Amen. Lots of people think you don't know what you're doing when you're speaking in tongues. That's not true. You don't know what you're saying, but you know what you're doing. Amen. You don't know what you're saying. He knows. That doesn't matter, you see. He knows. Though you don't, you know what you're doing, though. Oh, glory. Amen. Hallelujah. See, and this is the way of God. He wants us to move into this great line. But first of all, beloved, he wants us to understand that in this great body, sin's got to be out. You see, I find so many people, for instance, they can speak in other tongues. And I find sometimes there's awful sins in their lives. I find people, they come and they boast, they say, Yeah, they speak in tongues. They do it every Sunday morning, or they do this when they go on. They get messages and all kinds of things. And I say to them, now you beware, my friend. As sure as you speak in another tongue, it will tell the exact state of your heart to Jesus. If it's an impure heart, that's what it will be doing. It cannot function. It's a thing in the spirit. It cannot function otherwise. It's in the great order of God. You've got to have a pure heart. You dare not speak filth and uncleanness in heaven. You've got to be pure and holy. You can't worship God with an unclean heart. That Holy Ghost will make you tell the truth. Amen. Oh, bless him. That's why you've got to have a heart full of love. Glory, glory to the Lord. And you've got to put your arms around him, and you can pour everything out of this. Heart to heart, spirit to spirit, face to face. Hallelujah. This is what he wants. This is for people who are unafraid. This is for people who've been purified in the blood of the Lamb. This is for people who can be identified utterly with God in his purposes in the earth. And that's what the Lord wants you to be. Absolutely. Glory. To see that I have a function in the great body of Christ for his purposes in the earth. That's what the Lord wants. And I know that this Bible of ours says we're to seek earnestly and covet earnestly the best gifts. And I know it's the sort of fashion of people to say, oh well, the best gifts are so and so and so and so and so and so. That's why I was so glad the other night when our brother Norman said, more or less, said this. This is the way I interpreted it anyway. Who are you to decide what gift you want because it's better than another? Hallelujah. Oh, but to have these precious gifts of God. Because God gives them. You know, beloved, will you let me talk to you out of my own experience and knowledge of these things? I testify to you and before God that when I first went to God about the person of the Holy Ghost, this great matter of being baptized or filled with the Spirit, God knows. I can look up to him now and say, don't you, Lord? God knows that all I wanted was to be perfectly holy and filled with love. That's all I wanted. I didn't want any gifts. Of course, you see, I've been brought up to think they weren't for today anyway. I've got over that now. But that's how I went. I came in all green. And I said, Lord, fill me with thy Spirit. Baptize me with thy Spirit. I suppose I used all the terms in case I hadn't got the right one. I'd rather like those in Athens. They have an altar to an unknown God in case they thought they hadn't got the right one in all the others. But I just went to the Lord, beloved, and I asked God to do this thing for me, and he came. Let them all say what they like, that want to say any different, but I know that God came and he flooded my life and he filled me right up and he transformed me and he did all sorts of things, and it was wonderful. If I stop to tell you all the difference. You know, I never came to life till God baptized me in the Spirit. I did not come to life until God baptized me in the Spirit. That's my testimony to you.
I came to life.
Oh, hallelujah. I came to believe a long time before that. But I came to life when he baptized me in the Spirit. Glory. I believed all sorts of things before that, but oh, hallelujah. I lived in all the things I'd been believing, and it was wonderful. It was heaven on earth. It was glorious. And it seemed to me that nothing else mattered in the whole wide world now than to live to be filled with the Spirit. Amen. And walk in this glorious fullness. You can think I was selfish if you like. I never thought of anybody else. I wasn't properly instructed or anything like that. I suppose you're very naughty. You should always be thinking of others and not yourself. But that if I'd ever heard that, that went by the ball. At that time, glory. It seemed to me it was every man for himself when I was. I'm sorry if I disappoint you. You can say I wasn't. You can say what you like, but I'm telling you the truth. It seemed to me that it was every man for himself. And boy, I had a great time. Hallelujah. Oh, it was wonderful. Blessed be the name of the Lord. He came and I lived. Oh, I remember, I was a pastor in a church at that time. I'm not now, but people keep on calling me pastor. I don't know why. Well, denominational in mind, if they've got hammered into their... That's all there is in that. It's only a job you do. But, and I'm not doing the job now, and that's the end of it. I remember I went out... This particular time, it was a Whitson, it was just right. We had some people come to our house, and it was Whitson. I went down to church, and you know, that's when God brought me, first of all, into this great realm of revelation. Boy, I got up that Sunday morning, and lots of scriptures, say, like that. I went down to church, and I opened up the Bible, glory, and I read from Isaiah, "Oh, everyone that thirsteth, come ye to the water. I will pour water on him that is thirsty." I went through all those glorious texts in Isaiah. It was wonderful, and I preached it. And a lady about the third row back said, "You know, I was preaching in this, and it's the first time I'd ever been indecently interrupted in a sermon." And she said, "Why not now?" I said, "That's right, sister, drink." From that moment, there was a division in our church. All the oldsters, including all the deacons, wouldn't have it. All the youngsters that weren't so dyed in the wool jumped for it. Hallelujah. You old people, be very careful. Doesn't matter whether you call yourself Baptist as I was, or Pentecostal as you may be, or Holiness as you may be, or Church of England, or Church of nothing. You be very careful. Amen. When God makes a new visitation, you jump. No matter what you call yourself or your ideas, you get in. Glory be to the name of the Lord. So she had a good drink. That was marvelous. God had started me off on the ministry of revelation. That's true. Well, I went along this line for a long time. And then one day, I was in a church in Gillingham. And somebody spoke in tongues, and I said, "Lord, tell us what that means, still green as grass." I knew there was a difficult interpretation in the Bible. I said, "Lord, tell us what that means," and then I started to talk. And he told me what it meant out of my own mouth. And I was away in the gifts by interpretation. I broke all the rules. They said I should have spoken in tongues first. I proved that's not true. You're looking at a man that proves that that's not true. Amen. I was interpreting. Glory. And when Sunday came, I was prophesying. I didn't know. I said, "Didn't know you had the gift of prophecy, Brother Norton." I said, "Well, if that's what it is, neither did I." Hallelujah.
about 3 months after that, God trusted me with tongues. Marvellous. I didn't seek them. These all came. It was marvellous. And God, beloved, moves into all these things. Well, I could go on and on and on, but I don't want to bore you with these anecdotes. And what God does when a simple soul is abandoned to Him and only wants what God wants. Amen. And isn't making gifts the be all and end all of life, but wants Him. And when I've been brought into situations, my word, I stood talking to a man this afternoon. Here's an illustration. I sat talking to him, and he's in the room now, so we won't be too particular. And he was saying certain things, and I started to talk to him. He said, "How did you know? Who told you that? How did you know that?" I said, "Well, I just know it by the way I know. I can't tell you what it is." Here's the truth. Glory be to God. If you're prepared to sell out everything, if you're prepared to have everything rooted out, if you're prepared to let God have you completely, I can't promise you anything. And we're not going through any artificial manufacturing of things either. We're in the presence of the living God. He does as He will. He glories in giving people gifts. He loves people to give them these things. And if He knows, He's got to know it, that you're going to be His, utterly His, if He knows that you're going to be before Him so that He can come down and burn you up and feed His soul on you, this one that He died to buy back for Himself, if He knows that you're going to let the world go utterly, if He knows you're going to die to yourself and die to your sin, and if He knows you're prepared to go anywhere and do anything and not think He's a monster and say, "Oh Lord, I'm going to send me," sort of thing, in fear. If He knows this, beloved, when He knows this true in your life, He'll come and visit you. You needn't struggle to get baptized in the Holy Ghost. You don't want somebody pushing you about and pumping your arms up and down and say hallelujah. You don't need it. I didn't. Amen. And anybody standing over you saying, tongues and saying, "Say this after me," that's the time to get up and walk out. Glory be to the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, our God's good, He's liberal. Amen. His gifts are prodigal. Grass. He'll give you a 10,000 place to crush under your feet as you walk across the field. Every time you put your foot down, if it's a large enough one. That's God. Amen. What? But one drop, this is where Wesley got it from. One transient sight, "I want a sun, a sea of light," and he knew he could have it. What's more, he got it. And beloved brothers and sisters, God, if He knows you're prepared to identify with Him unto the end. Say, "Well, I can't foresee the future," but He can. But you've got to take all the future into account when you do it. None of this, "I can't see the future, how can I do that?" You're trying to deceive yourself on the very verges of God's blessing. You've got to intend the future. You want Him to deal with the past, don't you? And if He didn't, what then, beloved? You've got to commit utterly unto His glorious and lovely will. And let me say this to you.
lest you think that bearing his will on the cross is a painful thing. Listen, beloved, to do the will of God from the heart is the most blessed and enjoyable and glorious experience there is in heaven or earth. Amen. The devil tries to intimidate people about this, and there's a lot of gloomy preaching about it too. Well, let one joyful note be raised. I have found that doing the will of God to date, and I'm in my middle 50s, has been the most joyous thing of my life. Glory. It's been wonderful. Amen. Mind you, sometimes you do it with trembling. I went to prison a bit trembling for Jesus. It was wonderful. I'm ever so glad I went to prison. I had a marvellous time in prison. Scrubbing floors and sewing mailbags. And taking the insults of the officers because I was a conchie. And so on. I had a marvellous time there. God made the Roman epistle. Sometimes when I preach on the road, I say, where do you get all this from? I say, in prison. Basement jail! Glory! Glory! Thy Father's house. This is the tremendousness about it, beloved. All the best epistles came from prison. That's true. And 1 Peter, wonderful. God opened 1 Peter up to me in prison. Oh, it's marvelous. You all ought to go to prison. Do something, especially if there's another war, to go to prison. If there's any prisons left, I mean. Do something. Oh, beloved. And God wants you to move in His wonderful realm, to know His will, to do it from the heart with joy. Glory be to the name of the Lord Jesus. Don't keep saying, Lord, I want to live for you. I'm going to live for you. I didn't say anything like that. I simply sort of, I used to go down and God used to come. I never used to think about whether I was living for Him or myself or anybody else. I just knew God. I want to tell you there aren't any formulae. None at all. Except that you fall in love with Jesus. And so yield to Him that His precious blood purges you and His Holy Ghost fires you and your imagination is used of God instead of the devil and your desires reach up to Him and for Him you leave everything else. Hallelujah. This is the work of the Spirit. I want to tell you it isn't something you work up for yourself. This is what the Holy Ghost does. If you've got an experience whereby you need to keep on stoking up the fire, stoking up the fire, stoking up the fire, going along to the meetings, go out. If there's any pastors here, I hope you don't think I'm against you. If you're telling your people to come, I went to prison. I didn't have any meetings. Not that you shouldn't. Now, don't misunderstand me. Not that you shouldn't. You go along. But glory be to God, I prove that you don't have to be dependent on getting together. It's Him and Him alone. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Now, perhaps tomorrow night if you come, you might hear me say, you better keep in fellowship. Hope that doesn't sound contradictory. But to go on and let Him have you utterly. Fill your life up. Use it up. Send you here. Send you there. When He knows you love Him, love Him, love Him, love Him. Do you? Do you? Don't you ever get any fears? Oh, the devil tries it on.
Don't you get any doubts?
I don't think I do now. Used to once upon a time.
Don't you get any sort of evil thoughts come to your mind?
Yeah, of course. But I don't keep them.
This is one of the ways the devil attacks. It's in the region of the mind that the devil attacks so many people. He comes to attack the mind, you see? And something comes to your mind and he wants you to sort of say, well, there it is, it's here again, throw up the sponge. You see? Oh no, you don't go there. You keep on going, beloved. And you let the Lord reveal himself to you. You don't believe the lies of the devil. You don't believe anything. Have you ever thought, if not, think on it from this moment, that our great and eternal God knows all the sin and wickedness that's going on in the world today, but he's not contaminated with it. He knows all the filth of the brothels. He knows it all. As a matter of fact, old David was quite convinced that he'd done this sin only in the sight of God. God was there looking at him. So David was convinced. But he wasn't. There was nothing inside him that responded. You see? He got nothing inside him that responded to it. If there's anything inside you that responds to it, it's because it corresponds to it. It's of the same principle. Oh, glory be to the name of the Lord. This is why I need my foot washing sometimes, because I have to walk down some very dirty paths. But glory be to the name of the Lord. We go on with the Lord, we identify with his purposes, and the more you identify with his purposes, the more he will be able to trust you in perilous places. So old Paul in the end could say, in perils amongst robbers, in perils in the deep, in perils amongst false brethren, in perils here, in perils there, hallelujah, oh glory, if you ever in perilous Jesus, hallelujah, isn't that wonderful, glory. And that's what he wants to do. Now, Jesus Christ himself lived so perilously on the edge of a cliff one period. He was going to be over, but he was not he. But you, I tell you why. Because before that he'd been on the pinnacle of the temple. Right on the pinnacle of the temple. That's the very place to cast yourself down from. That's where most of the suicides take place. When you're on the very pinnacle of the temple, you can go no higher. Spiritual pride. Amen. And he was right on the very pinnacle. The devil said, go on, jump off. Listen, Jesus Christ was tempted to commit suicide. Don't you despair. And he wasn't demon-possessed either. Some of you deliverance men need to learn that. Or women too. See? Jesus Christ was under the power of Satan. Jesus Christ, the Son of God, was so under the power of Satan that he was actually carried in the power of the devil. He was carried by Satan and put on the pinnacle of the temple. And you would have thrown the sponge up then if it had been you say, oh, I'm devil possessed, he's got me. I'm on the borders of hell. I might as well get hung for a sheep as a lamb. You never thought Jesus was ever under the power of Satan, did you? Because people don't preach the truth, they only preach half-truth, you see. Here is the truth. He was under the power of Satan, carried away up onto the pinnacle of the temple. He was actually there. But it's at the last step where possession takes place, and not the first. That's where the possession of the Holy Ghost takes place, at the last step, when you are better. before the God. Glory. That's why some people have so long come in there, and in such a hurry to get there, they like to skid through and get a few tongues, few words in tongues, and there's no deep work done in their life. And that also is a tragedy. Some people are so satisfied that they can hear you say a few words in a tongue. God forgive them. There is an identification with God. I have to handle so many people that say they've been baptized in the Spirit and can speak some words in a tongue. I have to handle so many of them and cast demons out of them. That's the truth before God. I have to handle so many and minister healing to them, lest they should finish up in the hands of a psychiatrist and in a mental hospital. Because people are just anxious to hear them say something in a tongue. Especially if it's lots of shakings or something like that. They think that's fool work. Let me warn you. God is moving the whole of this great Pentecostal truth into a realm of purity and holiness. Depths, breadths, and lengths, as well as heights. Amen. And I know that if you and I are prepared to identify with God, Lord, I'm thine. Amen. Amen. Come on, Lord, take possession. Glory. Lord, take possession of thine own. Here I am. Lord, go on, hand over. Right over, go on. Consciously hand your will over to God. Go on, everything. Right over to God. Here I am, Lord, utterly. Everything about me, spirit, soul, and body, here I am, past, present, future. Hand over. Take possession. Hallelujah. Fill me now. Glory. Flood me now. Baptize me now. Hallelujah. Go on. Yeah. Just believe him. Glory. Go on. Be filled with the Spirit. Go on. It's a command. Be filled with the Spirit. It's not never written in the Ephesians, would you like to be filled with the Spirit? It says, be filled with the Spirit. Go on. Go on. Amen.